Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals at your favorite game and concerts and shows you on a scale of 1 to 10. Whereas green is a great deal, yellow is good deal, and red is a bad deal. Use our promo code ACAA and get $20 off your first purchase. That's two beers free from the stadium. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here with the Panther Rants podcast. Happy hump day to you guys. Me, I had to run some errands and I'm on my way into work. And, you know, I bank with Chase Bank, and this isn't going to be an advertisement like I've been doing. But, you know, Chase Bank, obviously, their social media account on Twitter, I guess, is doing these money motivation things. And I guess one was about, but I guess, telling people how to budget their money or how to handle their money. And I guess the way it came off is pretty condescending. And it's pretty rich coming from a bank that, you know, was on the verge of collapsing in 2008 when the dam broke with the whole savings and loan thing. And if it wasn't for a government bailout, they wouldn't be in existence probably. Or maybe the name would, but I'm sure the whole foundation, that whole thing would have been gone. But there was a lot of big companies that were in trouble, and it's because they were doing things they weren't supposed to be doing. So my Monday motivation for Chase Bank would be to get ATMs that actually work. Because it doesn't matter which Chase Bank I go to, they're either slow, they don't accept deposits, or they don't dispense cash. I mean, there's no consistency with their ATMs whatsoever. The only consistencies that I have are just they don't freaking work right. And then I have to go to at 8 o'clock in the morning, I have to actually go into the drive-thru and deposit money. But that's what you get when you have technology and convenience. Sometimes when it fails, you get inconvenient. But anyways, guys, let's get some pit stuff. Pitt got a commitment from Jalen Barton. He's a 6-foot wide receiver out of Westside High School, Macon, Georgia. He's a 3-star recruit. And he's the third commitment of Pitt's 2020 class. He had offers notable from Indiana and Kentucky. Those are two P5 offers. So he joins Michael Statham, who's out of Baltimore, Maryland. He's an offensive line, offensive tackle, 6'6", 300. And Samuel Williams, who's from Florida. And he's a 6'4", 210 defensive end. So, I mean, look at the geography of these three recruits so far. Maryland, Georgia, and Florida. I like it. You know, I really given the off seasons here, I have to really look at the recruits. And, of course, the PA top 20. To see who Pitt's actually involved with and who's not going to go to Pitt. I'm not sure who or where. I know, you know, when Wani was here, we always had early commits from local kids because he put a huge emphasis on it, and sometimes he put too much emphasis on it. Then towards the end, he was focusing on New Jersey a lot, and he was getting a lot of Jersey kids. And I know he focused on Florida too, but the frustrating part about Florida is that even especially in the South as well, is that those kids, especially in the SEC territories, they get an SEC offer, they're going to go to the SEC. That's, you know, it doesn't matter if the team may be mediocre in the SEC. The bottom line is it's the SEC. They get to play teams and probably face kids that they faced in high school. But I'm curious how Mark Whipple's pass heavy offensive pit's gonna be. I'd like to see him incorporate the no huddle in the offense as well. I'm hoping he does. Because if your quarterbacks and the receivers are in a throwing rhythm, they're nailing their passes, go no huddle and throw that defense even off balance even more. Don't give them a chance to recover. Get back to the last scrimmage and hike it off. I'm not saying go like be like Todd Graham and go left lane hammered down, but just at appropriate times. I mean, that's the problem with with Todd Graham offenses, Baylor offenses. They're great offenses. They score a lot of points, but there's rhythm involved. And a lot of times when you're trying around the clock and things like that, and if you can't stay in some sort of rhythm, you turn the ball over really quick and the team makes a comeback. And we saw that in several occasions. Ooh. Yeah, I'm looking here. I see a tow truck pulling a car. Looks like it's a wreck. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think, I like to study the PA Top 20 and take a look and see. I'm not sure if it's Top 50, Top 20 anymore. I guess it depends on how many really good players you have. I don't know. I know Pitt hasn't really put much of heavy emphasis on Whipple as much because, the players they do want end up going to other schools anyway. But it is what it is. Now looking back at the draft, I like the Steelers draft. I think they got a lot of good players of need. I think they addressed a lot of key issues. They grabbed another running back, which was good, and another receiver, a bunch of linebackers, secondary to get help. I mean, they addressed a lot of key issues, and the sky's the limit, obviously, and of course, they bang on extension, and which makes me laugh even more because you got some people in the media that said, well, they didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, but they gave Ben more money. Well, here's the thing. They wanted to pay Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell just didn't want to accept the offer. They were going to offer more money. He was going to make more with his extension than the original long-term deal the Steelers gave him than what he was with the Jets. It would have paid him a lot more, but he didn't want it. And even with if he'd have been franchised, he would have made a boatload, but he didn't want it. And now, look where it's got him. It's got him a shitty deal with the Jets, and, well, he can have it. I mean, this was his time to break the bank. He obviously didn't want to do it, and he's getting in his late 20s for running backs. By the time he's done, he may be past his peak. But anyways, that's his life, and that's his money, and it's not mine. Antonio Brown obviously wanted more money, but we really didn't know that a whole lot because he was too busy you know, throwing temper tantrums. And, you know, I think the issue with him was receivers want the ball. So whenever receivers come by and they start making an impact, obviously he's going to get pissed off. It happened to Jerry Rice, like I've said before. When Jerry wasn't getting the ball, he was getting frustrated because, you know, Stokes and Owens were coming in and he was more of an afterthought at that point. I mean, at the time, he was in the league a good bit. But, you know, not to mention he also had that ACL he hurt two times in one season. He hurt early in the year, and then he came back and for the Monday night game against the Broncos that I watched. I remember watching that game with my dad. Because my dad just got a 32-inch television, and that was a big deal at that time in 1997, to have a 32-inch TV. We got this big RC 32-inch television, and it was awesome. And, man, we hooked that up. We hooked up the entertainment center, the surround, and we put on Monday Night Football. And it was the 49ers and Broncos, and Jerry Rice was coming back from his ACL. Rice scores a touchdown, and I think re-injured his that same part of his body hurt. So he was done. But, yeah, he was pretty much done with the 49ers after that, and can't blame him for moving on. That's just how it goes. And he had some good years with the Raiders towards the end, and he finished up. He ended up eventually finishing up with the Seahawks. But other notables, Quadri Ellison got drafted. A bunch of Pitt guys end up as free agents. Darren Hall went to the Browns. Which, you know, could work out for Darren Hall because, you know, Darren's going to the backfield with has Hunt and has Nick Chubb. Hunt is suspended for part of the season, and with the mess that happened with the Chiefs and their receiver, you know, that's something to monitor along with, because, you know, Hunt has had his problems too as well. But if I'm Kareem Hunt, I'm wondering, I'm taking a look at the Tyreek Hill situation, and I'm like, maybe I should dial it back. Whatever it is, issues I got, I need to look into what I'm doing with my life. Because Hill, obviously, he got a second chance. He got plenty of chances, and He was practically going to be a star in this league, and now it's just he's got issues. It's violence issues. I mean, he's hurting his wife and his mother, his child. And he's hurting his child, and of course they can't prove that he broke the kid's arm because they have no evidence. But the Chiefs have been pretty quiet about it. And some people hate that, but I think the Chiefs right now are doing their due diligence on it right now. Because I'm sure there's a lot of legalities involved. Because they have to cut him. I think he's still under contract. So I think people should just wait and see what the Chiefs actually do with this, because I think he'll be gone, but I'm sure there's other elements to this as in terms of cutting him. A lot of people say Andy Reid has given a lot of guys second chances. I mean, Riley Cooper was one, and Michael Vick, but the thing about Michael Vick was nobody had no interest in him whatsoever. It was Tony Dungy that helped Michael Vick get signed. If it was for Dungy, nobody would have signed Michael Vick. And of course, when Riley Cooper went to a country music concert, and I guess said he'd fight every N-word in the in the show, didn't work out too well for him. And I mean, people complained that you know, he got a second chance and got a contract. But people need to realize that if it wasn't for Michael Vick in that instance, he would never got a second chance. It was Vick that that vouched for him. But yeah, plenty of other players got free agent deals. And of course, you know, talking about, I guess, one notable Whitfield person, Miles Sanders got drafted in the second round, which I was shocked. I thought he'd be later round. But he got second round, and, you know, it worked out for him. More power to him. He's going to the Eagles. I mean, it's not like he's going to a shitty team. Although he did say that he doesn't think that the media pressure will be as bad because he's in Philly than it was at Penn State, which I think was funny because he's going to one of the biggest media markets in the country. And the Phillies, right, I mean, not the Phillies, but the Eagles are a happening team right now. They're very well loved across the United States. And on top of that, they're woke, which gives them more credibility, I guess you can say, or more popularity, I should say, because they're very active in the social justice realm of the Twitter world, and social media loves that stuff. So I'm gonna say credible, but more popular, I would say. So I think he'll be in terms of media coverage, he'll be a lot busy. So, watch out for those fumbles. Alright. NBA playoffs have resumed, as we all know. We got the new rounds coming. I'll start off with the whole Houston thing, because I live here. It's been nothing from the last few days for me having to hear the local people in this town and the media itself bitch about the officials. That's all that's been done. And I didn't flip the game on Sunday until probably midway through the first quarter. I went on because, obviously I have kids and they want to watch their favorite shows. I went on Twitter and I just saw that they were down early. And people were bitching about the officiating already. And I already knew what kind of game it was going to be after, when that happened. I mean, the whole game itself was badly officiated. But it seemed like one team, despite the bad officiating, moved on and played their game. And the other team, who should have won, spent the whole game bitching about the officiating and taking dumb, stupid technical fouls. Yeah, it was badly done, but you got to keep playing. That's just how it is. The Rockets could have, instead they whine all game, and that's that. And of course, a lot of the stuff that the Rockets used to draw fouls on, the refs aren't calling as much. And here we go. So, I don't know what to tell them. And, of course, last night, hopefully Harden's eye's okay, for one thing. But they got worked again. And it wasn't because of the officiating. Maybe the psychology of it was. But they didn't rebound. They just played with no passion. And it almost seems like at times that a bunch of them have already quit in the series already. I mean, they got a team. The Rockets got handed a series against the Warriors, who just got worked by the Clippers. Game one, you had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. They were both ailing. They were questionable for that game. They weren't healthy. They had games one and two on a silver platter for them. And what did they do? They pissed it away. All they had to do was do like what Cobra Kai does. You strike first. You strike hard and show no mercy. But instead, they sat around like Danielson and hoped that Miyagi would come and save them. And this time, Miyagi just didn't show up. And now, they're subjected to jokes. I mean, Steve Kerr, I guess, made fun of the Harden flop in his press conference. You know what? He's allowed to do it because he's got the rings. He's got your number. And if you want to respond to him, your best bet is to go beat them in a series. And they haven't yet. I mean, they've beaten the Warriors during the season. But seven-game series is a lot different than a game on a single night. But as far as the rest of the playoffs go, Dame and Portland face the Denver Nuggets tonight. I think Portland will take this game tonight. I think Denver though wins the game and wins it in six. I just don't think the Trailblazers have enough to beat them. If the Trailblazers really want to beat Denver, they're going to have to disrupt Nikola Jokic. They're going to have to do something with him. He had 30-something points in game one, and he was draining threes. Basically, with Jokic, they got to get somebody in his face if they want to give themselves any chance of winning this series. If they do that, I think they'll move on. But they got to do it. I think Portland, I think they lost their top center to an injury in the first round, which sucks. They got Cantor, who's, you know, he's been playing pretty good. But they're going to have to lock down the, if they take out Jokic, you know, the offense runs through him. If they take him out, they're going to take the series. But that's up to them. And on top of that, you gotta hope, you know, Dame stays hot. And you gotta hope that CJ McCollum steps up and the rest of their offense steps up as well. Everybody has to pitch in, you know, in order for them to win that series. On the other side of it, we saw the Bucks even their series against the Celtics. And, you know, game one, obviously, the Celtics locked them down. And that's the thing is, everything runs off of Giannis. And it was a case where all the elements got shut down for the Bucks, but game two was a different story. And they just, whatever it was, whatever adjustments they made, it worked in game two because they blew out the Celtics. It wasn't even close. And of course, you got the Sixers and the Raptors. I like the Raptors in this series. I was kind of surprised that the Sixers won Game Two, but I think after what happened in Game One, they had to do something in Toronto, and they did. Even with Embiid out with the poops, guys stepped up. As they had to. Their only really weakness really is Ben Simmons. I mean, he's a hell of a player. It's just he has no three ball. And that can hurt them. Because if you take away a lot that Ben Simmons does, well then, yeah, they're just kind of screwed at that point. because I think what they fear most is a Raptors and Warriors series. That would hurt their ratings a lot if that would happen. I mean, playoff ratings are down overall. That's because LeBron's out. The Warriors and Rockets could be a really, really good watchable series, but the game almost more officiated, and it seems like the Rockets, at least part of the team, has checked out
so far. I mean, when they get the next two games are at we're in Houston, but I don't see winning both of those at all. I can see him winning at least one and make the series go to five, but I don't see him winning this series at all. I think they're pretty much done at this point. And who knows? You know, I mean, this is gut check for them. And I just don't. The thing is, after seeing the first two games, I don't see it. And in other stuff, I guess, in terms of college sports, we got the Adidas trial that's still going on. Of course, Richardson's obviously been testifying. I mean, Richardson was dumping into his 401k to pay for players. Here's the thing. If I'm an assistant coach, if I'm dipping into my own funds to land players, fuck that. Unless they're giving him some sort of a kickback for landing these players, I'm not giving him anything of mine. I mean, I would not at all ever have dipped in my retirement fund to pay for a college, to pay for a high school player. So I don't get why someone would do that. That's just ridiculous. Unless he's got a big-ass retirement fund. Even if I had a big-ass retirement fund, I would have never dipped into it just to pay for a college player. Or our high school recruit, I'm sorry. It ain't worth it. And if you're going to those type of things, that job probably isn't worth it. But I don't see Will Wade in any trouble. Sean Miller's obviously really, really guilty in a lot of this. And I guess he supposedly knew a lot about a lot of these deals that were going on for his players. But obviously, I don't see anything happen to these guys. I don't see much changing. Pretty much, these guys, these assistants, are little fish. They're going to get thrown in the pond. They're getting, not thrown in the pond, but they're getting pulled out. And they're going to be, if not already, deboned and fried and whatnot, seasoned. So I don't see a whole lot coming out of this. I don't see a lot changing. I don't think the NCAA is going to be really, really interested in it either. They can't really enforce anything. I mean, there's stuff that they can do to make this stuff go away, but they just don't want to do it. And of course, you got people complaining about, Dabo swinging and getting a $9 million a year deal. And if he would just share that money with the college players, he would get $180,000 a year. Yeah, that's not how that works, guys. In a lot of ways, college players are getting paid, are probably getting paid already somehow in some way. But if the NCAA lifts some restrictions and let them make money for themselves, I would have no issues with it. Let them sell autographs. Let them autograph shoes and helmets and whatnot. Let them make appearances. If a booster wants to give them some cash, let them do it. I mean, it's their money. Let them do it. And to close out, Urban Meyer, was in the news, and basically it's because Reggie Bush and Matt Leinhart want to recruit him to USC. I guess they want to recruit a really good coach to USC, and despite the fact they already have a coach. Well, for one thing, Reggie Bush is barred from USC, and I have no idea why he's barred at all. I don't get that. The guy made a lot of money for the university, and he made a lot of money for the NCAA as well. He made a lot of money for the sports networks because they plastered his highlights all over television and marketed him. And of course, he got wrapped up in a scandal, and he had to give his Heisman back because of it. So they get the market off of him, and you know. He may have broken a rule. It wasn't too bad. And he gets to hand his Heisman back and gets to be barred from the campus. Makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. Oh, well, guys. You know, I've been asked about who to make bets with, who to register with. I always recommend MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They got great reviews. They got even a mobile site that's easy to use. I've even used their mobile site, and it's pretty easy to use. Deposits are easy. And if you want, you can claim some bonus money as well. Go in and enter the promo code Panther25, and you get 50% of your deposit back. So if you deposit $100, you get $150. It's crazy stuff, you guys. Go check them out. It's MyBookie.ag. Check them out. And tell them Watt Harris sent you.